Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is 11/30/2015, and tonight's topic is the ills of pornography. Mashallah, this is a rebroadcast from Saturday. I guess I had some technical problems and the show didn't record. So I had to re-record the show. So that's why I'm doing the topic again tonight. So it's not like a two-part topic today. So I just wanted, you know, all the listeners to understand that this was new. So I'm just going to do everything that I did Saturday over tonight and, you know, try to cover all the topics and things that I covered on Saturday, inshallah. I was feeling a little bit under the weather on that call, so alhamdulillah, I'm able to do that again. First and foremost, I'm going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me, using my faculties, giving me sustenance to be able to see another day, to live another day, and be grateful and thankful for everything that I have. You know, all too often we forget that, you know, something could happen and Allah could wipe away all of our blessings in one instance. And, you know, we should take time out throughout the day and not necessarily, you know, during our prayers, but, you know, just thank Allah, alhamdulillah, that we're not in a grave. There are people, as we take another breath, they're taking their last breath. And that's something that we should definitely be mindful of, because death can happen at any instant. You could contract a rare disease. You could walk out your door, get hit by a car. You could be shot. You could be maimed. And, you know, if we don't experience those things, these are things that we need to thank Allah for pardoning us, not to have these type of things befall us. So, again, just want to thank Allah for, you know, giving me another day. I'm still a little bit under the weather. I'm still not feeling 100% myself, but this is an obligation. This is an obligation that I have to fulfill. You know, this is something that I dedicated and stated that I would take on as an obligation, and this is something that I'm going to fulfill to the best of my ability, inshallah. The ills of pornography, you know, it's something that, you know, comes up in various things, comes up in various situations throughout life that we may incur. And especially if you're married or you have young children, you know, all too often we're opening the doors to these type of things and allowing them in our homes unknowingly. Some of the things that we have to be mindful of is that, you know, as they say, there's things called soft pornography. When you see women scantily clad, or you see men exposing their aura, and for those who aren't Muslim and listening, your aura for a man is anything below his navel and above his knee. These are things that should not be exposed to anyone except your partner, your spouse, your husband or your wife. These are things that should only be exposed to them. And the reason why I chose this topic is because I've seen it, as with most of my topics, that I get off of social networks. And it was a sister who, you know, had posted this. I don't know if this is something personal that she was, you know, going through or experienced, but I just felt as though that, you know, this is a good topic to deal with and to address, because it does happen and it is frequented in our daily lives. Even though we may not want to be exposed to these type of things or encounter these type of things, these are things that we you know, come upon, you know, with the music videos, or, you know, if you're married and your wife has teenage children and those children may not be Muslim, and, you know, your teenage daughter has friends that come over and they're scantily clad. I mean, I've had that issue before, you know, where I had to address it for my daughter's friends who aren't Muslim. You know, if even if and when I was married or not, you cannot come in my house dressed like that. Like, I would stop it at the door. You cannot come in my house with Daisy Duke shorts on, your chest all out, all this extra stuff. Like, it's not going to be allowed in my house. And the one reason why I would, you know, forbid it for being in my home is because I don't want, you know, I didn't want to segregate my children and say, okay, I don't want you hanging with anyone that's not Muslim. Because we know how the dunya attracts these children. These young children get so engulfed in it, and it's additional task on Muslim parents to, you know, reinforce Quran and Hadith in our teenagers and preteens' lives, even our younger children. It's very important that we start, you know, teaching our children from the cradle about Islam and reinforcing it. But once, you know, our children go out into the world, and mainly when they're, you know, attending school and so forth and so on, they become more aware of the ills of society. And these are things that, you know, are out there in abundance to them. You know, they have to walk past stores that's advertising this, like the mannequins have, you know, scantily clad mannequins. Their friends walking around, things like that. So, you know, I would not allow my children's friends, if they were not Muslim, to walk in my home like that. Like, you have to be at least properly covered, not exposing your entire body. And that's just something that I've always done in my home. Because first and foremost, you don't want to expose your husband to something like that. I mean, you know, your husband is out in the dunya, out in the world, day to day, and he's, you know, constantly berated with seeing this all day long from, you know, women who aren't covered. We don't live in a Muslim society, so, yes, our spouses are exposed to these things. So, you know, you definitely don't want to bring it home, because that leads, you know, to other things. And, you know, you can prevent, if at all possible, those types of fitna in your home or problems. That's another word for fitna, problems. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll be happy to put you through. So what is considered pornography? What is considered pornography? Well, the layman's term or the Webster's definition of pornography encompasses anything that shows via video, recording, or live engagement of two or more consenting adults in sexual activities. So those sexual activities would incur oral sex, anal sex, regular, you know, vaginal, penile sex, and also other types of activities on top of that. And I'm trying to keep this as clean as possible, because reading these definitions, they are quite obscene and lewd, and I don't want to, you know, expose the listeners to, you know, a majority of these things because they're very disgraceful. Why, as Muslims, should we avoid these type of things? First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't even go near it. Allah azza wa jalla said, don't even go near something that is haram. Stay away from it. Don't concern yourself with it. Move away from it. Don't indulge in it. Don't mind it. Don't worry about it. If it's not concerning you or direct, you know, your direct response is needed for this particular situation, then leave it alone. And Allah said that. I didn't say that. You know, people think it's cute when they start with the subtle things. You know, it's okay to watch these lewd videos. It's okay to see, you know, young girls walk around scantily clad. It's okay to do these things. But we know as Muslims that these types of behaviors and activities destroy communities. They destroy homes. They just destroy marriages. And it opens up a whole other topic of things that should not be addressed. You know, it's not something that, you know, as a Muslim, we should not be concerning ourselves with these matters. We should be moving far away from them. And we should always encourage our children and our spouses to not partake into these types of things. These are things that we should readily ensure that we are staying far away from and not engaging in. Okay, so what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about, you know, these types of things? Well, it says in Quran, surely Allah enjoins justice, kindness, and the doing of good to kith and kin, and he forbids all that is shameful, indecent, evil, rebellious, and oppressive. And that is in Quran, Surah 16, or chapter 16, and verse 90, or ayat 90. There are, as I was studying up on this particular topic, there are three aspects of pornography that Allah has prohibited, three different parts of pornography, and here's a bit of terminology on it. So according to the Al-Mawrid Arabic-English Dictionary of Munir Babilki, fushash is obscenity, vulgarity, indecency, shamelessness, and sometimes that is dirty, filth. That's what pornography is translated into. So basically, fushasha is translated as anything shameful. It's a Quranic term which the Quran and Hadith has been used widely for un-Islamic sexual behavior. The Quran uses it as in the above verse, as I stated a few seconds ago. And this includes these particular types of things. So it would be fornication, nudity, public foreplay as depicted in films and photos, pornography, hurling of abuses and curse words, promiscuity or promiscuous mixing, or dress designed to expose the body. And at the highest level of this, a law has included adultery. So, you know, these are definitely things that we want to not concern ourselves with and forbid, even in our homes. It's not something to be taken lightly. And we also know the word al-munkar, which is defined as gross, abominable, abominable, detestable, atrocious, outrageous, and flagrant. So, you know, these are things that we should, you know, stay away from. And these are, you know, incurred in, as I stated early, you see it on mainstream TV. And as I was saying, when I was growing up, back in the 80s, we had HBO. But my dad wouldn't allow us to watch HBO, like, after 6 o'clock. Like, we could watch, like, if anybody remember, you know, back in the day, HBO had a show called Fraggle Rock and things like that. So we were able to watch it then. But my dad would unplug the box so that we couldn't watch it because he knew that at these times, you know, filth came on. And we, like, my dad didn't play. We couldn't listen to music, rap music, none of that in the home. So I tell people, like, when I converted over to Islam, it was very easy because, you know, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things that most Muslims do, so it wasn't that hard of a transition over. You know, my dad didn't allow me to wear shorts, tights, anything revealing, none of that. I couldn't wear makeup, any of that. So it wasn't that hard to convert over to Islam, you know, being the way that I was raised. So, you know, we have these. Back in the day, you had to have cable. And even with cable, these lewd acts and things of sexual natures didn't come on until, you know, like 12 o'clock, 12, 1 o'clock, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. These types of things came on. And I want to open it up if anybody has a comment, question, or concern. You can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. And I'll see you come up on my dashboard, and I'll be able to address your concern. So, you know, these types of shows came on late in the night when most children were in bed sleeping. Well, we know in today's time, you know, back in the day, even with the 80s, like, I remember, you know, sneaking, so as I did, to watch, you know, videos on MTV, and one of them was Luke. And, you know, he had that song called Me So Horny and things like that. And they would actually blur out, you know, showing a woman's breast and things like that. They would use the blur lines to block things out like that. Or even when they were cursing, they would, you know, bleep it out. They wouldn't say it. And then if you were to go and purchase these cassette tapes and early CDs in my time, you could get the clean version or you could get the dirty version. And I ever purchased the dirty version, my dad would always pop my tapes. Like, he just didn't play that type of stuff. So, nowadays, we have filth that comes on in prime time. I mean, you see with the Super Bowl how Janet Jackson became exposed. I mean, this was prime time television, and, you know, they made such a deal out of it, but it wasn't like, oh, it wasn't such a big deal, and, you know, they say they fined them and so forth and so on. And then you have all these reality shows where all these people are sleeping with other people, our kids with these music videos, and the way that these entertainers portray themselves are confusing our children with different behaviors, lewd, homosexual, lesbianism, behaviors that should not our kids shouldn't be exposed to. These are things that shouldn't be exposed to our children. And now you even have these types of behaviors being exposed to our children as young as elementary school in books and things of that nature. Like, they're forcing the teachers to expose our children to these lewd and despicable acts that are grotesque and against Islam. And it is our duty as parents, first and foremost. It is also duties as Muslims that we should protect our children and safeguard them from being a witness to these things. Now, I know you could do whatever you can in your home to protect your children from being exposed to these things, but if your kids are not homeschooled and they go to public school or even, you know, private school, they're going to be exposed to these things because they're around their friends. They're going to interact with their friends going to and from school and possibly at lunchtime and recess and other things like that. Even if you allow your children to go over or have sleepovers at their friend's home, they're going to be exposed to these things because you don't know what the schedule and what the routine is at that child's home. Yes, you can say, okay, the parent can say, okay, I'm not going to allow this, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. All well and good, but those kids aren't, and I don't know, being monitored 24/7 while they're there. You know, kids could show somebody something on the phone real quick, and it's gone. We know with these new apps that they have, and, you know, it's very disheartening that I believe some of these creators of these apps are targeting children. And the creators of these apps may or may not be pedophiles. And the reason why I say that is because you're encouraging teenage children to be able to conceal from their parents files or pictures of things that they want to keep personal. And I just feel like if you have teenagers or preteens, nothing is personal in my home. If you're in my home and you live with me and you're my child, I have a right to go through your things. And that's not that I'm being nosy or I don't trust my child. It's just I need to know what's going on with them. You know, all the time, children aren't going to talk to their parents about everything that goes on with them. And sometimes, you know, snooping on your children, I'm not talking about adults because that's around, snooping sometimes is necessary to find out what your children are doing. They could be under peer pressure. They could be, you know, being pressured by another classmate to do these things. And as a parent, it's our duty to protect our children from these types of things because we know once something gets out in the internet, once you type it and you hit that send button, it's out there forever, no matter even if you erased it. Even if you erased it, you deleted it as soon as you sent it. Someone could have screenshot that particular thing and sent it on to someone else. There was a big case a couple of weeks ago in my area where I live at, and I'm in Delaware County right outside of Philadelphia. There was a big case where they're charging teenagers, and I'm talking about young teenagers, 11, 12, 13-year-olds in junior high or middle school, with adult crimes. They're charging these kids as adults. And they didn't add the charge of like pornography or pedophilia of a child, like transmitting, you know, or uploading images of a child under the age of 16, something like that, whatever that law is. But these kids are being charged with, you know, using communication devices and things like that, which hold adult penalties. And, you know, it's definitely something that we need to speak to our children about, and it's definitely something that we need to address with them, that you don't show anyone any of your private parts and you don't, you know, videotape this, you don't take pictures of it, you don't send this to people, you don't trust them because these people could use it. Like one day they're your best friend and the next day they're mad at you and they expose you. And this is what has been happening with our teens and, you know, even with some adults and things like that. You know, they're exposing themselves on communication devices, whether it's tablets, phones, or whatever have you, and it's being used against them and sent all throughout the, you know, World Wide Web. Again, once it's out there, it's out there. There's nothing you can do to get that stuff back, so we should always be mindful of that. Screenshot is the number one culprit because it has your picture, it has your phone number, and people who know you know it's you. And they know that's your phone number, and people will expose you and do things of that nature. So always be very mindful of what you do and how you do it. And, you know, just, again, as Muslims, don't indulge in these types of behaviors. Don't do it. You know, I know we all want to be good Muslims. I don't think anybody purposely wants to sin and incur a law, depending on what the Allah's wrath or anger. I don't think we purposely do that. But these are things that we need to stay away from. We don't need to indulge in them. You know, they have all of these pornography sites. And, I mean, it's so easy, you know, to do it. I mean, you know, I've come across people on public transportation. Public transportation, watching pornography. So, you know, alhamdulillah, I don't have small children, but there are our brothers and sisters in Islam traveling on public transportation, and you're on a bus and you're sitting behind someone or in front of and behind someone, and your child happens to look over and watch them watching their phone with a sex act being taken place. I mean, we don't want to expose our children to things like this. We don't want to have to expose them at such an early age on these things. But some people have no fear of a law. They have no shame, and they're doing as they please. They just don't have any shame, and they're doing whatever. I mean, you know, it's things I have seen that or on my timeline, that I can't even believe that Muslims are sharing. You know, it's just like, why would you share that? Like, why would you share it? A lot of times, if I see someone who's sharing something in that manner, I'll address the person and say, you know, assalamu alaikum. That was totally out of pocket what you did. You know, you should remove that from your page or whatever have you. If the person refused to remove it, I just delete them. I just delete them and block them. I don't have time to engage in that. And, you know, a lot of people follow my page with a lot of things, and a lot of people watch what I do. So I definitely have to be mindful of these things and not to expose people to those types of things, and I don't share those things. The whole situation came about with the former boxer or boxer, I don't know who he is, where he was engaging on a pornography homosexual website with two other men. And as Muslims, we should have removed ourselves from that. We should have not engaged in that. We should have just turned our backs to it and said, whatever he did, that's on him. You know, those links should not have been shared with no one. His name, none of that should have been shared. People knew what happened. You knew what it was. It was in the papers. It was on the internet. It was everywhere. Nobody had to physically look at those videos. But a lot of Muslims indulged in it. A lot of Muslims went on that site and watched it and attached the link and shared it. Somebody came to me and they asked me, did I have it? Because, oh, I know you're in the know and you know about it. I said, yeah, somebody told me about it. and somebody sent me the link. I deleted it. I did not want to be privy to watching it. I didn't want to see it, and I didn't want to partake in it, so I deleted it. People were getting mad at me like, oh, well, you had the link. Why wouldn't you just share it? I'm not sharing anything like that. Like, it was so out of control with that whole situation. Like, why would you want to, you know what he was doing. He was engaging in a homosexual act with two men. Why would you need to see it? Why would you need to see it? Why would you need to engage in it? And why would you need to want to pass it to someone? That's the whole thing that, you know, I don't understand with that situation is why would you want to, you know, partake in it? And, you know, don't get me wrong. Then people was like, you know, they wanted to expose him for the fraud that he was or whatever have you. Okay. People knew. He came out and said what it was. He exposed himself. He's been in the newspaper. He's been on various TV shows and things like that. He's been all over talking about this and his experience as, you know, coming out that he's homosexual or whatever have you. So, I mean, it didn't take the Muslim community looking at that video to confirm it. I just didn't see any purpose in it. And, again, we should refrain from those things. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013, and you can press 1, and I can put you through if you want to speak to me today. I am a little bit under the weather, so you may hear me sound a little nasal. It's much better than Saturday, so alhamdulillah, I'm glad I am able to redo the show because I was coughing, sneezing, and everything on Saturday, so... Mashallah, I get a second chance at this. And we know that most of all the major religions, the Abrahamic religions, forbid and are against watching pornography and engaging in it. Another part three of the words that, you know, are used in Quran about this type of behavior is al-bagai. And according to the Arabic dictionary, this term means wrong, injustice, outrage, and transgression. So we know that with a lot of things that transpire in pornography, that women are mainly exploited. They will show the entire woman's body. They will show her engaged in all kinds of acts, but they will rarely show the man's face. So this is an injustice to the women. Some women are forced into these types of things. We don't know who and who isn't forced into these types of behaviors and these types of situations. So we should remove ourselves. We shouldn't even engage in it. We shouldn't support it because we don't know if it's someone who's in the sex slave trade. You have so much that is going on in a lot of countries where women and children are sold into sex slave trade and are used to an unimaginable degree of sex. Like, these women have no lives. Their lives is laying on their backs for men, and the money is collected by these pimps or, you know, these runners of these brothels and so forth and so on. So, again, why would we want to purchase or solicit or engage in anything that would have something to do with this? I mean, it demeans and demines a woman 100%. These are things that we should be disgusted at because I've watched series of shows where they talk about how young women are lured for modeling or beauty contests and things of that nature, and then they go sign up for these things with these supposedly reputable, you know, talent agencies, and these women get lured in, and they're never seen or heard from again. And they're used, and sometimes they never get out, and ultimately they lose their lives. Because once they're no, you know, more use for the men or the man, whoever's running these type of situations, they just toss them to the wayside. We don't know, and we can't confirm also, excuse me, when you have these young girls, you don't know if they're under 18 or over 18. And, you know, in the United States, these ages are illegal for men to engage acts with, sexual acts with. Unless you have the permission from a parent. Like sometimes you can get married at the age of 16 or sometimes younger, 15. I've seen it 15 and 16, and you need parental consent. Now, I'm not talking about situations like that where it's a legal marriage through the state or even a legal marriage Islamically, because we know once a woman reaches her age of maturity, which is when she receives her menses, or she starts menstruating, that she is permissible to marry. Now, we don't usually engage in that in the United States, but it is permissible for her to be married. But what I'm speaking of young women being used for the sole purpose of sex. Why would you want to purchase it? This is somebody's sister's mother, daughter, or whatever like that. And I've heard situations where, okay, you know, I had no choice, I had to do this, I had to do that, times fell hard, things like that. But still, we should not use our money to engage in these types of things. We shouldn't solicit it, we shouldn't purchase it, we shouldn't watch it, we shouldn't view it, and we should stand firm against these things. We should definitely stand firm against these things. You know, back in the day, you could only get stuff like through the mail. You could get Playboy, things of that nature, you know, only through the mail. And it was very hard to, you know, get those things. So, you know, it wasn't that wide. We weren't that exposed to it as we are today. Now, this is where I wanted you to hear this verse from the Quran. It says, "Say to them, O Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not even draw near to shameful, be they open or secret." That's Quran 6, verse 151. And it's just I don't personally get it. You know, a lot of times, you know, we know that men's sexual desire and men's sexual appetite is greater than a woman's. We know that. But we also know that, you know, some people will say, oh, I can, you know, if I can watch pornography and it's not haram for me to watch it. Yes, it is. It's haram for you to watch pornography. And if you are single and you are not married, you are masturbating. It is haram to masturbate. Now, some people will say, oh, no, you can do it because it says, you know, it is a fatwa out there that says that if you feel as though that you will fall into zina, then it is permissible to masturbate, but that you should make sincere tawbah to Allah to forgive you and try to refrain from doing it. It's still haram because you're not entering into a woman. And we know, I can't think of the exact hadith, but it will say that your limbs will speak against you. And your hands will speak against you on the day of judgment if you are not forgiven. Also, we know that things such as masturbation are not good for men. And the reason for that is when you vigorously pull on your penis, you could damage capillaries. It could cause premature ejaculation. It could cause you not to be stimulated by your wife because you know from constantly doing this, you know what pleases you and you know what arouses you. And so you're not focusing on pleasing your wife, and that's something that you have to do. You have to please your wife when you're having sex. That's something that a wife has a right from her husband to be pleased. And what I mean by being pleased is for her to reach orgasm. Yes, it's hadith, it's sunnah for her to do that. So these are some of the things that, you know, we should not fall into. And we, if at all possible, we should, you know, fast. We should read. We should study. We should try to do things that will turn our minds and our bodies away from these types of things. Don't indulge in things or be around people who encourage these types of things. Because a lot of times, people, you know, your friends and the people that you keep, you indulge in these things because you know that they're cool with doing these things as well. And these are things that we should not do and we should turn away from if at all possible. Again, if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013, and I will put you through. Another thing, we know that Shaitan entices people. He encourages these types of behaviors. And it says, at several places in the Quran, Allah warns us not to follow the steps of Shaitan. He will incite you for shameful things and encourage you to do universally accepted wrong things. And that's in Quran 24:21. And I'll just expound on that for a second. What that means is whatever is in Quran and Hadith that is halal, no man can make haram. Listen to this. Whatever is in Quran and Hadith as halal, no man can make haram. Thus, anything that is haram in Quran and Hadith to do, no man can make halal. So, for example, we know that living in the United States, they have made homosexual marriage, marriage of the same sex, legal. We know that in Islam, that is totally forbidden to do. So even though the United States has made that halal to do, it is still haram for us to do. Thus, you know, they say, oh, after the age of 21 or 18, you can do this, you can do that. It's still haram for us to do. We can't partake in these things, and we need to avoid them if at all possible. Also, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I have a weak spirit, and I fall prey to these things. Well, if you are in certain things or around certain people, you need to remove yourself from those things. You should not keep yourself engaged in those things. If you know that your friends are always going to the strip club, Muslim and all, they don't care, always going to the strip club, you know what your friends do. You know that it's haram, and if you're trying to be a better Muslim, then you remove yourself from those situations. You don't engage in them. But a lot of people keep those people around for the simple reason that they are listening to the shaitan. But also, let me just be extremely clear on some things. Extremely clear on some things. We cannot blame the shaitan for everything. We cannot blame the shaitan for everything. And what I mean by that is sometimes it is our own selves that causes these types of behaviors. It's not shaitan. It's not shaitan. Don't even blame him. Sometimes he don't have nothing to do with it, and you still do what you want to do, or you encourage things that you know aren't right. Now, what can we do to, you know, try to refrain from, you know, these things? Well, we always need to go back to Quran and Hadith for anything, for any guidance. We should always look to these two things, first and foremost, as a way of guidance. And just turn away from them, because we know that eventually, and, you know, it talks about it a lot, that if you keep engaging in these minor things, like, you know, watching pornography, masturbating, things like that, you may not be engaging in fornication, the literal penetration form of fornication, but behaviors works your way up to that. It leads you up to it. So it's like, okay, I'm no longer getting fulfilled by masturbating and watching pornography. You know, this sister kept inboxing me, or this brother kept inboxing me. I'm just going to, you know, see where they're at with it. And this is how things happen. Now, I know a lot of people will say, you know, social networks are the devil and they're the demise of relationships and things of that. Social networks definitely has its problems. But it also has its benefits, because one way that I promote this show is through social network. And how I obtain a lot of topics for my show is through social network. Do I come across a lot of things? Yes, but I don't entertain them. Why? Because first and foremost, I fear a loss of pen with the island. And I always handle things as far as addressing men who are in my inbox. I address them in a business-like tactic. I don't speak to them softly. Oh, assalamu alaikum, how you doing? No, I don't do that. Assalamu alaikum, how can I help you? Yes, what is it? And I'm just straightforward with it. And, you know, then they'll start, you know, trying to butter me up with things like that, but those things don't work on me because I fear Allah and I know what the punishment is. You don't always have to do penetration to have a form of fornication, and this is something that we need to learn and also brush up on as Muslims, because you can commit zina with the eyes, the tongues, your limbs, and don't have to have penetration. So it's still a form of, you know, fornication. It's a minor form, but it still is. So we should be abstaining from these things completely, if at all possible. Now, another part of the call that I wanted to address regarding this particular topic was on the post, you know, that made me want to do the topic for the show, was that, you know, people were going back and forth. The brothers and sisters were going back and forth asking each other questions and things like that. So one of the things was, okay, well, what if I want to make a pornography tape with my wife or my spouse or my husband? Why is that haram? This is the thing. I'm going to say, for my personal opinion, and I don't have any dalil on this, I'm saying for my personal opinion, I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to say it's haram or halal for you to do. I'm just going to say, from my personal opinion, I wouldn't do it. Why? People get bitter. People get very bitter. And you may not have access to that device. And that person could use that and share it with people. Now, astaghfirullah, no one should expose their wife, even after divorce. You should not talk about your bedroom activities while you're married or after you're married. If you were married to a certain person, you don't discuss your bedroom activities with that person, even after your divorce. We know this from reading Hadith, that you don't do these type of things. And the reason why I say I wouldn't do it is because you don't have that device. It could get lost. Your husband or your wife could have downloaded a video of you two, you know, having sexual intercourse, and you're on public transportation, and you lose your phone. Your phone drops out. And say you don't have it locked by, like, cloud if you have an iPhone. You don't have cloud, or you don't have a passcode or SIM card lock on your phone, and somebody just opens up your phone and sees this video. You have now exposed your wife or your husband to the world because you don't know what that person is going to do with that video. So this is why I say, in my personal opinion, again, this is not with any scholarly advice. This is Quadira's opinion. I wouldn't do it. And, you know, a brother did make a good point on that post where he said, I would not want my wife's aura being public for anybody. I wouldn't even ask her to do anything like that because I would fear that it would become exposed. And likewise, if, you know, I was married, I wouldn't want my husband's private parts to be exposed as well as my own. And that's shameful because we're Muslim, and people will exploit that. Like, look at these Muslims. They say they're Muslim, and they're doing this. And, you know, and it seemed harmless in the beginning because we're husband and wife, or wife and husband, and we see no harm in it. I would say that's not something that you should partake in for the simple fact that it could be lost. You could lose your video if you did it on a video camera. It could become lost. It could be mislabeled and exposed to someone else. Like, I've heard of things happening, and this is how these sex tapes come about. And that is something I don't think Muslims would want to be, you know, privy to, seeing other Muslims exposed in that type of situation. So, you know, those are all things that we should be mindful of, and we should fear Allah in those types of situations. Again, if anybody has a comment, question, or concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I will gladly take your comment or your remark. You know, so concluding with this topic, because I want to get into Thursday's show, inshallah, because this is going to be something very crucial. And I am working with my good brother, Nafis, who was a guest on one of my earlier shows when I first started doing the show. But in conclusion to this whole pornography thing, we should fear Allah. If we cannot afford a spouse, what we should do is fast. We should also try to increase our knowledge in Quran and Hadith so that we know why these things are haram and not for us. We should also try to the best of our abilities to safeguard our children, our homes, and our spouses from these types of behaviors and not encourage it, make it encourageable amongst our families, turn away from it. So that's where I want to leave that. Again, this show will be available for playback on the archive on Blog Talk Radio. Do /EmamAlfred and look for my name in today's date, and you will be able to find the show. But I want to talk for a few minutes in regards to the show, inshallah, that I will do Thursday. And it will be on communicable diseases. And STDs. I did a show earlier in the year with Nafis Salam, and we have formed a good business relationship in regards to keeping the community aware of the resources available for getting information on sexually transmitted diseases and also communicable diseases like HPV, HIV, hepatitis, and herpes, and how it is ruining this community. And, you know, I had put up a post, and alhamdulillah, I'm going to keep this brother confidential because this was something that was sent to me in the inbox. The brother approached me and asked me, was I looking for someone to marry? And I told him, no, not at this time. I'm not looking to marry anyone at this time. And he said that he was HIV positive and that his count, his I guess his HIV positive count was down. So he wasn't sick. And that, you know, he was looking to get married. And I said, alhamdulillah, that was very admirable of him to come forth and be open with his status. Not too many people would be that forthcoming. I know a couple of people who are HIV positive who are just outright with it. Like, this is who I am and this is what I have. And, you know, I respect them for that. But I respect this brother 10 times more. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him shifa and to keep him healthy and to bless him with a wife. Because this brother definitely needs it. Someone that could fear Allah. Because he didn't have to tell me. This brother did not have to tell me his status. He could have been deceitful. We could have wound up going get married, so forth and so on. Now, would I have requested to get a health check? Absolutely. That's something I do. Absolutely, I would have done it. And maybe I would have found out then, and then that would have been devastating. That would have been so devastating that I formed this relationship with this potential person that I'm going to marry and get it all the way up until the point that we're about to get married, to find out his HIV status, and to know that he already knew he had it. But I commend that brother that he was that straightforward with it. So, you know, the reason why I'm doing the show is because there are 1 in 8 people, and I'll do the statistics because I'm sure the statistics can change. Since I did this show a couple of months ago, there are 1 in 8 people walking around with HIV and don't know they have it. 1 in 8 people. And I come from an area in Philadelphia, zip code. I grew up in zip code 19143. And if anybody knows about zip code 19143, 1 in 3 people in that zip code is HIV. 1 in 3 people. So 1, 2, 3, one of y'all got it. 1 in 3 people in that community, in that zip code, has HIV. That's scary. Also, there's been another outbreak of herpes. You know, people aren't getting tested for herpes. HPV, people are showing up with HPV. These are all things, you know, I understand that we want to get married. I understand we want to complete half our deen. But what we need to do is we need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not do this. Because, I mean, you could ruin... This is not just something that you do, like you took somebody's candy and you can go buy them a new one. You're playing around with somebody's life. You're playing around with people's children's lives. You know, this is why I encourage, and this is just me, I don't know about anyone else. You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's the cutter. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Allah said also tie your camel. Tie your camel. Keep the faith in Allah, but tie your camel. So what that says is don't be stupid. Don't just be going out there doing whatever you want to do willy-nilly and, you know, not being protected. This is something you can't play with. And no, HIV doesn't have the death sentence that it had years ago. But if you don't have a good health care coverage, you can't afford those medicines. And I believe it's down to a 3-pill or a 2-pill cocktail a day that you have to take for the rest of your life every day. Because if you don't, it will boost your numbers up and you will get sick. People don't understand that you do not die from HIV. You die from AIDS. And basically what AIDS do is you don't die from that virus. The virus actually weakens your immune system so much that you're susceptible to all kinds of infections, diseases, and cancers. And that's 9 times out of 10 what you die from. A lot of people will, their demise will be because of pneumonia or some kind of rare form of cancer. That's usually what takes someone out with HIV that has turned into the AIDS virus. And, you know, we can't go by the fact that somebody looks healthy. Because in looking at that brother's profile, he looked healthy to me. Had a nice appearance, clean cut, or, you know, the whole nine. We have to be careful. And I know a lot of people, you know, who husbands are in polygyny. I say this. Yes, it's your right to have 2, 3, 4 wives. It's your right. It's your right if you can afford them and maintain them. But brothers, please, for the love of your family and your children, if you go to obtain another wife, please get tested. Get tested for all kinds of diseases. Get the whole work done. Get the whole work done on both of y'all. Because it's not a good look for the Muslim community to have the new wife go and spread a disease to the other wife, and now the sister could possibly die because you wanted to keep it quiet and you didn't want to tell her. You know, I'm not saying that you got to tell her, but make sure you get the STD test. Get all that done. Don't play around with nobody's life. Don't put no one through that hurt, because I couldn't even imagine having to deal with something like that. I couldn't even imagine having to deal with a death sentence hanging over my head, that if I don't take these medicines every day, I could possibly die. Now, I know I'm going to die, but I don't know when and I don't know how, but I know if I quit HIV and it turns into AIDS, I am surely going to die. Don't put your families through this. Stop playing these games. Stop fulfilling your knife. Fear law. And that's all I ask you. So, again, if anybody wants to listen to a rebroadcast of this show or any of my past shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/EmiamAlfred. You can search on my name, and you will find a list of the shows that I've done. I also usually upload those to my Religion Means Alive Quadira section on Facebook, and also my regular status bar. I usually upload it. I'm on all social networks, so if you have a comment, question, topic that you want to see here on the show, or you want to be a guest on the show to speak about a specific topic, you can feel free to call me on my business line at 610-836-2120. You can send me a text message. That's a cell phone, so you can send me a text message. You can leave me a voicemail. Inshallah, I'll get back to you at my earliest convenience. You can also send me an email at qamrma@gmail.com. If you have an event going on in your neighborhood, and it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in, because we service everybody throughout the entire United States and abroad, because I have people who are listening to the show from Nigeria. They stream it live. I have people from all over the world actually listen to the show. So alhamdulillah that, you know, it's reaching these people. And again, if you have something going on, send that information to me, and I'll be happy to review it and then present that on the show as advertisement. I do the show Saturdays, Mondays, and Thursdays at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I am trying to cut back on some of those days. So, inshallah, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to see if there's anyone available that would like to do their own show for a specific topic or a genre of things that you want to speak about on the show. Contact me. Get with me. And I can review this with E-Man Alfred, and we can look and see if you would be a good candidate to join our family here at the show on Religion Means a Lot. We have a wide variety of listeners and callers from all over the United States, and we have a good age range of listeners, because we do statistic polls to see who's listening to the show and what topics they're listening to. And we do definitely listen to the suggestions. So, again, if you want to, you know, partake in this, or you have someone you may know that may be a good fit for our family here at Religion Means a Lot, just make sure they get my contact information. Inshallah, if y'all could spread the word about Thursday, because it's definitely going to be a hot topic. And I'm going to use the maximum amount of time for that show. I will do up to 2 hours for that show, because I know we have people calling in, people have questions, we have resources. We try to get people provided with all the resources and information online, and then I try to recap that when I send out my thank you for listening to the audience. So, again, I really appreciate everyone that joins in and listens and participates and supports the show. It's important that we do this. This is not just something that I like doing because it's fun. I feel like, you know, we don't have really a voice out in the community and also on the airwaves to address the things that we do on our show. Our main listeners, yes, may be of Islamic faith, but we do have listeners and people who are not Muslim, and they are being reached out to, and they are listening to the show. And I think it's a good platform where we can show them that Islam is not about terrorism, it's not about hate, and that we do promote and we do have good, insightful things that we talk about and try to engage in, and it's not always lewd behaviors and, you know, indecent things and moral things, that we are trying to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. So, again, I thank everyone for that. Tonight's topic was the ills of pornography. This was a rebroadcast of Saturday because, for some reason, it didn't record on Saturday, so I redid the show. Again, I am Sister Cordera Aisha Muhammad, and this is the end. Thank you for joining. Assalamu alaikum, and have a good night.